Title: Parallel Drum Crunch for Modern Control with Vintage Tone Beginner. Alright, let's build one of the most useful modern drum and bass mixing tricks. Parallel Drum Crunch. This is how you get that vintage, hardware-ish bite and density, without destroying the clean punch of your kick and snare. The big idea is simple. Instead of crushing your main drum bus, we're going to duplicate the vibe, not the audio. We'll make a clean lane that stays punchy and controlled, and a separate crunch lane that we can absolutely abuse with saturation and compression. Then we blend that crunch in like seasoning. A little for presence, more for the drop, less when the bass takes over. Open Ableton Live, and let's start with routing. Step 0. Get your drums into one place. If you're using a drum rack, put it in a group. If you have separate tracks like kick, snare, hats, select them and group them. Rename that group drum bus. The goal is to process the whole drum picture together for now, because it's fast and it's very DNB friendly. Now, on the drum bus, drop an audio effect rack. This is where the magic lives. Open the chain list and create two chains. Rename the first one clean and the second one crunch. Quick teacher note, doing it inside an audio effect rack is not just convenient, it keeps things phase aligned and easy to automate. This is the workflow you'll use again and again. Let's set up the clean chain first. You have two options. Option A, leave it totally empty. That's the cleanest clean. Option B, add a glue compressor, super gently. Set the attack to 10 milliseconds, release to auto ratio to 2 to 1. Then bring the threshold down until you're getting about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Subtle. If you hear it pumping, you've gone too far. Remember, clean is your punch and clarity lane. Now, the fun part. The crunch chain. We're going to build it in a specific order, because order matters. If you distort mod, you just get muddy distortion. So we shape first, then crunch. First device on the crunch chain, EQ8, as a pre-EQ. Add a high-pass filter around 30 to 40 Hz, with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. That's mainly to stop useless sub-rumble from being distorted and eating headroom. Next, listen for boxiness. If it feels like cardboard, do a small cut somewhere around 200 to 350 Hz, maybe minus 2 to minus 4 dB, with a medium Q, around 1.2. And optionally, if you want the snare to bite through a little more, do a tiny boost around 2 to 4kHz, like plus 1 or 2 dB. The reason we might boost before distortion is because the distortion will exaggerate whatever you feed it. So you're basically choosing what the crunch gets excited about. Next, add saturator. This is your main grit generator. Set the mode to analog clip. Start with drive around plus 8 dB. You can go anywhere from plus 6 to plus 12 depending on how gnarly you want it. Turn soft clip on. Turn color on. Set the color base around 1kHz and depth around 2 to 4. Then, and this is really important, pull the output down so the level matches roughly when you bypass the saturator. Because louder always sounds better, and we're not here to get tricked. We're here to get good. Quick listening goal. You should hear the drums get denser in the mids, like they step forward without turning into white noise fizz. After saturator, add drum bus. Start with drive around 15% and crunch around 20%. Use damp to control brightness. Think of it like a tone ceiling. If it starts getting crispy, bring damp down a bit. Leave boom off at first. In DNB, especially with modern subs, we usually want the low end to stay stable and clean. We can add weight later in smarter ways, but for parallel crunch, we're typically focused on mid-punch and texture. If you feel like you lost too much attack, push transient slightly up, like 0 to plus 10. If it's too spiky and clicky, pull transients down a touch. Next, add glue compressor, and this one is intentionally heavy. Set attack to 3 milliseconds, release to 0.1 seconds, ratio to 4 to 1. Then bring the threshold down until you're seeing 5 to 10 dB of gain reduction. Yes, that's a lot, but this is parallel. We're squeezing body and sustain out of the drums on this lane, while your clean lane stays punchy. That's the whole point. Now add another EQ8 after the compressor, as a post-EQ. This is where we make the crunch sit in the mix, instead of bullying everything. High pass this one much higher, somewhere between 70 and 120 Hz. If you're making heavier DNB, don't be afraid to go 90 to 120 Hz. This is a huge pro move, because it stops the crunch lane from dragging low end forward and ruining headroom. Let the clean lane handle the weight. Let the crunch lane handle the attitude. If the top end gets harsh, dip around 6 to 9kHz by 2 to 5 dB. If you want more snap, you can gently lift 3 to 5kHz by a dB or two. Small moves. At this point, Your crunch lane probably sounds kind of awful on its own. That's normal. Parallel processing often sounds ridiculous soloed. What matters is what it does when blended in. So let's blend. Go to the chain volumes inside the rack. Turn the crunch chain volume all the way down to minus infinity. Start playback, then slowly raise it until you feel it. You're listening for the moment where the drums suddenly feel more urgent and more finished, but the kick transient still punches and the snare still has a clean hit. Typical blend ranges are around minus 18 dB to minus 8 dB, depending on how aggressive your crunch chain is. Now let's make it easy to control. Map the crunch chain volume to macro 1. Rename it crunch blend. Set the macro range so the minimum is minus infinity, and the max is about minus 8 dB. That way you can't accidentally slam it into too much territory unless you really want to. This is where it becomes musical. You can automate crunch blend for drops, fills, and switch ups. Here are a few practical DNB moves. For drop impact, push the crunch up by about 3 to 5 dB for the first 8 bars of the drop, then settle it back slightly so the ear doesn't fatigue. For fill energy, automate the crunch higher on snare fills every 16 or 32 bars. And for call and response, try boosting crunch when hats and percussion get busy, then pulling it back so the bass can dominate. That little motion is a big part of why jungle and rollers feel alive. Now, optional vintage sampler edge. If you want that amen style, old sampler grit, add redux on the crunch chain before the heavy compression. Keep it subtle. Try downsample around 16 kHz, bit reduction around 12 bits, and dry slash wet around 10 to 30%. If it gets fizzy fast, that's normal. Pull the wet down, or tame the high end later with post-EQ. Now let's do a couple quick coach checks so you don't fall into the usual traps. First, the mono and quiet test. Drop a utility on the drum bus temporarily, hit mono, and turn your monitor level down. Quiet listening is brutally honest. If the groove feels more forward and stable, you're doing it right. If it turns papery, spitty, or the kick feels smaller, reduce the crunch blend or tame highs in the post-EQ. Second, watch your low end in the crunch lane. If engaging crunch makes the sub-region rise, your high pass on the crunch lane isn't high enough, or your compression is pulling low energy forward, raise the post-high pass to 100 or even 120 Hz and listen again. Third, level matching. Any time you increase saturator drive or drum bus drive, compensate their output so the compressor sees a consistent level. Otherwise, your crunch amount will feel unpredictable across different sections. And here's a safety trick for beginners who like to automate aggressively. Add a limiter at the very end of the crunch chain only. Set it so it catches just the wildest peaks, like 1 to 3 dB of reduction at most. That way, when you push crunch for a fill, it doesn't randomly spike and scare you. One more caution. If you start inserting third-party plugins with oversampling, look-ahead, or linear phase processing on only one chain, you can smear transients due to latency differences. Ableton's racks are aligned as long as devices report latency correctly, but some plugins can still complicate things. Easiest fix is keep the parallel chain mostly stock, or mirror the latency on both chains. Now for a quick practice routine you can do today. Program a simple two-step DNB pattern. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, hats in eighths or sixteenths with a bit of velocity variation. Then do 3 quick 8-bar tests. First, crunch blend all the way down, clean only. Second, crunch blend around minus 12 dB. Third, crunch blend around minus 8 dB, but automate it down 2 to 3 dB when the hats get busiest. Export the 3 versions and listen on laptop speakers, on headphones, and at quiet volume. Your goal is simple. Does the snare still pop on small speakers, and does the groove still feel energetic when it's quiet, without turning harsh? Let's recap what you just built. You made a two-lane drum bus. Clean punch on one lane, dirty character on the other. You used pre-EQ to avoid muddy distortion, saturation and drum bus for harmonics and smack, heavy glue compression for parallel density, and post-EQ plus high-pass filtering to keep the low end stable. Then you mapped a macro so you can blend and automate crunch like a producer, not just set and forget like an engineer. If you tell me what style you're making liquid, rollers, neuro, or jungle, and whether your drums are one-shots or breaks, I can suggest a dialed-in crunch profile like warm, bright, or aggro that usually translates best for that lane.